Welcome to tonight's edition of Catch the Flavor Radio. We're coming to you live from 600 Dundas Street East in the east side of Toronto, well, downtown east side. We have the privilege right now of doing an interview with a good buddy of mine. His name is Chris, and he is the director and co-creator of a new play that just hit Toronto. So we have the opportunity right now to learn a little bit more about Chris and about this play. The play is, of course, based on a very big hit movie called The Evil Dead, one of my favorites, of course. You know, the chop-em-ups are the ones that I love the most. Don't ask me why, but, you know, they seem to compel people. And of course, now it's in a play form. So, hi, Chris.
Hey, Justin. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. So this play, The Evil Dead, how did it come about?
Well, the truth of the matter is I was performing in a production of the Rocky Horror Show. This is back in 2001, and it really blew me away to see this new kind of audience coming to see this show, this kind of cult audience, this party audience. These guys would come to see the show over and over again, and it wasn't so much that Rocky Horror was a show as it was an experience. And I was really inspired to create my own experience, my own show that was had a unique following and kind of party-like atmosphere. And Evil Dead was just, it was the perfect show. It was Evil Dead 2, the film that actually inspired the musical. And now we have all three of the movies in the Evil Dead trilogy as a part of the show. But yeah, I just wanted to make a big party. And a great experience, a theatrical experience here in Toronto. And it all started back in 2001, and here we are now in 07, many years later, and we're hitting the city pretty hard, and people are really loving the show.
What's been the feedback so far?
You know what? Since Toronto has been amazing. It's been great. I mean, we've had a chance to workshop and perform the show many, many times and work out the kinks and add new great things. And we did the show on Broadway, and we even were able to add even more great things from the Broadway show here in Toronto, and the reviews have been staggering. They've been just gushing about the show. We've been getting perfect scores, people really enjoying it, and it's been great. It's great to come home and to have people in our own backyard just eat it up and love the show, so it's been great.
How did you get involved with this project coming off of course, the Rocky Horror Picture Show? Tell me about how the early days and you know, co-creating it. How did the idea come about? Was it inspired from somebody seeing The Evil Dead, or?
Yeah, it was from me seeing Evil Dead. I actually rented Evil Dead 2, and I was just like, wow, this would be a great musical. You had this really unique character and a lot of over the top stage kind of antics and physicality, and it was all taking place in one set. Which was this cabin in the woods, which was this character in its own, you know, the set comes to life. It just had it really appealed to me on a lot of different theatrical levels, and I thought, wow, this would be great. On top of it, it had this great, huge cult appeal, and a great history, with, the horror movies and Sam Raimi and all that. So I just, you know, called some buddies on the phone and said, hey, I really want to do this. I contacted my partner, George. And George and I just started getting to work on it, and it was he was gung-ho about it, and he was working with the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival as a writer. So we teamed up and started putting the show together, and here we are.
Wow! So tell me what the audience is saying these days. Is this the kind of play that normal people that just love a good show would come to? Is it more, like you said, of a cult audience? And what's been the reaction so far?
You know what, so far we've been really lucky because we've had a lot of broad stroke audiences. We definitely have a young crowd coming out, and they're sitting in our splatter zone area, which I'm sure you've heard about, where we kind of hose down the audience with blood from the stage. But we've been getting a great mix of audience, because this show stands on its own as a solid piece of musical theater, a comic musical theater. There's some great fun songs. There's a lot of spectacular dancing choreographed by Tony Award-winning Hinton Battle. This show has everything. It really does. So we get a really great audience, and it's all about that audience in Toronto starting to come out now. people not just saying, hey, this is a show for young people and it's this horror movie show. No, it's a great musical theater experience. So we're getting the crowds that go see We Will Rock You and Lion King, and they're coming to check us out. And they're loving the show. On top of the show, I think they really enjoy seeing the young kids in the Spider Zone getting hammered with blood. It's a really unique experience, and everyone really enjoys it. So we've been really fortunate.
Wow, this the Spider Zone sounds really interesting. So this is more of an interactive play, really.
Oh, absolutely. We really get in your face. I mean, this show and at the theater, the Diesel Playhouse, which is a great venue for our show, we get the crowd involved. I mean, first of all, it's a cabaret space, so the audience, you're allowed to drink in your seat, so it's a party. You're drinking, you're laughing, you're screaming lines back from the show, up from the movies that you know, back to the actors. The special effects are all in the house. We and then there's the blood, where we basically hose the audience. And the way that the venue is staged is in the thrust seating. I mean, these actors are really in the audience's space. So, yeah, it's like you're right in the cabin and you're a part of the experience, when it's something that makes the show so special, and the audiences absolutely love it. They eat it up.
Wow. Could you tell me a little bit more about the cast that you have? Where are these people coming from? How did they get involved in The Evil Dead? And do you have the full cast from the actual movie?
We're really fortunate that we found this guy, Ryan Ward, when we started this project 5 years ago. We had a little audition on the U of T campus, and we maybe had 20 people show up and for our first run of the show. And this guy came out of nowhere, Ryan Ward, who was a huge fan of the movies, a huge Bruce Campbell fan, and he has been awesome. He's been our Ash for every show, the whole run, every run we've ever had, and he's been off the hook. And he's actually from Winnipeg. He's a Manitoba kid. Ryan Ward, he's super talented. The guy can sing, he can act, he can dance a little bit. He's knows his stage combat. He's got great comic skills, and he brings it every night. And he's been doing it for years, and he's spectacular. Another great thing is we have a great Canadian cast, and we're fortunate to have so many talented actors here in Toronto. We have some great stars, people like Sarah Cornell, who's playing the role of Annie Shelley, and Sarah Cornell did the producers on Broadway and here in Toronto as well. We also have Mike Nug Nargang, we call him Nug, he plays Jake, good old rival Jake, and he has won several comedy awards, Canadian Comedy Awards. So he's a very talented guy. We have a great group, young people, fun people. The energy's always high every show, and we're really lucky. It's great, and we really play off of a lot of the characters from the films and really take it to the next level of kind of crazy zaniness. So, yeah, the cast is great. Couldn't ask for more.
Wow, that sounds pretty neat. How long has this production gone on, and how much longer is it expected to run? Is it an everyday kind of thing or weekly?
When the show opened up, previews began on May 1st, and fortunately we've just announced an extension. We're going to be running the show until mid-August, I believe, so we're really excited about that. Tickets are available at www.evildeadthemusical.com. We're just calling the Diesel Playhouse at 416-971-5656, but we're running all the way through till August, and we're running strong, and it's 8 shows a week, Monday to Saturday. We got 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows on Saturday. We actually have these 11 p.m. shows, these late night shows, so we get a really young party audience those nights, kind of like the midnight, night, evening fun shows. So we got everyone comes out. It's been great. So definitely a show to check out. You're looking for something to do in Toronto. You want to have fun. Maybe you don't like theater. Maybe you don't like horror movies. But if you like having a good time, Evil Dead the Musical is the spot.
That sounds amazing. I'm gonna even have to check it out. I mean, wow.
Justin, you gotta come out, man. You gotta represent. You gotta be there.
For sure. For you, Chris, no problem. Again, just run it by us again. When exactly it's going on? Where exactly the Diesel Playhouse is, and how much it is, and you know, all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. Well, the Diesel Playhouse is right downtown, right across the street from Gretzky's. You can't miss it. It's at 56 Blue Jays Way at King and Blue Jay Way. right across from the Sky Dome. You can't miss it. It's a beautiful theater. Like I said, you can drink in your seats. It's a party atmosphere. Tickets go as cheap as $17 all the way up to $60. I believe a Spotter Zone ticket's around $30. Shows are Monday to Saturday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Shows around 7:30 at night. We're running all summer long to the middle of August. Don't you dare miss it. It's a fun night. It's a party. And we've been fortunate that we're selling really well and people are coming. So if you want to make it out, jump on those tickets. www.evildeadthemusical.com or 416-971-5656 at the Diva Playhouse box office.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on Catch the Flavor. We look forward to coming out and having a good time getting blood on ourselves.
All right. I enjoyed catching the flavor with you, Jay. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Take care.
You too.
True say, the last theater I ever seen was Phantom of the Opera. And big up. That was in high school. And it was still, I remember we had to pay money, but we got a discount. But I know, like, I enjoyed it. For sure, I enjoyed it. And I thought it was really cool. And I wanted to go back and check another one. But a lot of them are, I think the more so thing is with youth, it's like we assume that, yeah, it's like older people. It's dressy, like, you know, it's going to cost money and whatever. But more times it's not like that, right? There's a lot of, like, independent theater companies and youth-led kind of theater troupes and whatnot that I think it's just getting the word out there and kind of breaking down that whole stigma, like, theater is for, like, older people and same people go to operas and stuff like that. Because it's not, right? Theater should be for everyone, especially youth who are, like, at that age to, like, explore and create and be creative and stuff like that. So I think that we should try and support, like, initiatives where it's, like, interactive theater and youths get involved. You know what I mean? Because it's a good way of empowerment and it's a good outlet, just like we do media here. You know what I mean? A lot of youths are interested in theater and stuff like that, but it's not something that you can access, I think, as easily as everything else. You know what I mean? Like, I've had youths come to me and say, you know, yeah, I did drama in high school, but, like, where can I get involved, like, in plays? You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? And some of it is more on a professional level, like Cats and those kind of things. Like, that's serious. You know what I mean? Like, most people don't know what's below that. Like, what's more, like, on the ground level. You know what I mean? So
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I went to a play recently called A Whistle in the Dark, and I think it's still going on. It was at the Young Center for Performing Arts in the New Distillery District. And it was quite entertaining, and it was hosted, well, the actors were all, the cast was from George Brown. And so I think that's what made it a little neat and more, you know, down to earth as the characters were somewhat in our age range. So it was neat to see students as performers and doing quite a good job of it, too. Do you have anything to add? No? All right. So we're moving along here, and, you know, thinking about theaters and plays and whatnots, bringing it back now to ICE again. So you enjoyed the Phantom of the Opera. And, you know, is that, you know, things like the E-Man over here was talking about the Young People's Theater, which back in the day they used to have pay what you can. Yeah, PYWC, you know, one of those acronyms. I can't. PWYC nights. And then I'm not sure what happened to them now, but, you know, there's just a new one that just came up. And it's on the corner of Queen and University and some big opera house for, like, and we're talking about price here. I mean, this is basically, you know, for the
Four Seasons Center.
Yeah, the Four Seasons Center. And my mom was all excited to see it on some, you know, they gave a tour or something. And my mom was jumping up and down, and I was like, but why would they put a theater thing for, you know, the high end of Toronto right beside the Club District? I don't understand it. I mean, there's so little spaces these days for young people, and they're putting this big thing right in the middle of the Club District. You know, E-Man here.
Well, I guess they're trying to make theater cool. That's the only, that's the only answer I have. You know?
Cool or expensive? Which one?
Both, maybe.
I don't know. When I look past it, when I'm walking to the Club District and not to the theater, They have like all these big advertisements, you know, Land Rover and Jaguar, and they got the cars in the windows. And I'm like,
yeah. And also, you know, like going to clubs is expensive too, man. Like one time, I go to a club, man. I know it's I'm going off topic, but I gotta say this, man. Going to clubs is very expensive, man. One time in 15 minutes, I spent $30 on friggin' drinks. You know, I was like, whoa, man.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, okay. What clubs do you go to? Because you know, and what kind of lady were you trying to impress that night too? Because you know.
Yo, I wasn't buying drinks. I was buying drinks. Actually, I was buying drinks, but it was for myself, all right?
Well.
But, because, you know, I was feeling the music, you know, so I wanted to, like, relax a bit more. So I got, like, you know, shots of like, rum and coke and stuff like that. But anyways, the thing about theaters, theater is not cool anymore, right? And also, youth have so many. They have so many distractions to keep them entertained. You know, there's the internet, there's music, there's movies. You know, and you know the theater is like going down the list. You know, like a lot of youth don't see that as being an entertainment for them anymore. It's like more geared to. It has that stigma of it being for you know theater being for the older. People like the adults, the senior people. So, you know, until these theater directors actually make it cool, like putting it beside a club, the club district or whatever, or changing the whole persona of the theater, you know, the theme of the theater, you know, then maybe the youth will be like, oh, let's go see a play, guys. Forget about the movie, man. Let's go see a play. You know, they have this nice play about a guy who's trying to fly, and you know, let's go watch it. You know, but the other thing is, a lot of people, I don't think they go to acting schools to become, you know, theater actors, right? They go to acting schools to become to run to LA or even New York now.
Actually, I think it's quite the other way around. Most actors who actually go to acting school favor the stage over the camera, typically.
Yeah, but
and usually the people who run to Hollywood are the people who never bothered with acting school.
No. Like, there's a lot of okay, I might be wrong about that one. Then.
Well, no, because the big scale movies mean more dollars, right? But I mean, Broadway pays good still. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. And
yeah, I don't see you making a living as a Canadian actor in the theater, right? I don't see you making money. You know,
well, making a living, money.
You know, I went to a lecture one time, and this guy it was a professor, and he was telling a story about. You know, about the theater and Canadian theater and what you need to become a Canadian actor. So he said that if you're a Canadian actor, you're not going to buy a house, all right? If you're a Canadian actor, you're not going to own that nice car. Even a Corolla is too expensive for you to buy. You're not going to own anything as a Canadian actor. The only thing you're going to own is a milk crate with all of your belongings in it. So,
but that's
the truth.
No. I mean, no, it is the truth. I'm not going to deny that.
I think that's very discouraging to
hold
people
on.
Who would like to
hold
be.
Hold on. Yeah.
I don't think so. Like, there's a lot of good, you know, Canadian actors that, you know, like, I was just thinking, you know, like Keanu Reeves, stuff like that. But not only that, I mean, there's some good, you know, quality Canadian. I don't know. I'm just, but there's a lot of quality Canadian content. I mean, just like Degrassi. That show's been, you know, going on strong for like how many years, and it's got a lot of good Canadian content in it. And I think we should be encouraging more people to get involved, you know, so that if the quality is bad, you know, we need to attract more good people.
Well,
and
yeah,
I know that that a couple of friends of mine have started, you know, getting into it. And it's a good place to be if you're there. And you know, it's hard for everyone, American actors too, you know. Not everybody.
Very hard for American actors.
I think it's like, yeah, Canada, we're a little more limited, so to say, in because, yeah, we're still Canada, we're not the States, but at the same time, I know actresses and actors in Canada who are making a living. It's not glamorous, but they pay their bills. And, you know, at the same time, it's like, I think Canadian actors are getting more recognized as time goes on. But I think that falls into the whole idea of, like, basically, yeah, like, I don't want it to sound discouraging because, yeah, there's a lot of young people that want to do it just because they want to do it. Like, I know people probably assume that they have this idea that they want to be some big time Hollywood, making millions of dollars. But I know people who actually want to do theater, and that's their love and that's their passion. They don't really care if they're bawling or not. Like, they just want to be able to eat, you know what I mean? And do what they love.
You can have the passion, right? You can have the self-esteem and the drive to be an actor, but that's not going to pay your rent. That's not going to pay your bills, right? So these passionate actors, at the same time, you know, they're going to all these rehearsals or actually auditions, you know, for every auditions you get, you lose, like, you get dropped, like, 50 times, you know. But all these, acting, you know, for acting, you got to be passionate. You got to have the skills, right? But it's a tough world out there. It's just like politics, you know. Like, it's very tough to survive, right? So anyways, but what I heard, what I remember from that professor, he said that as a Canadian actor, what you're going to make out of the year, like your annual salary is going to be like, you know, $13,000. That's how much you're going to make, which is very, very poor.
Well, I don't think that there's many, you know, people working on, you know, Canadian, you know, stuff that make that much. I think you're talking about, you know, the average shows. But again, you can aspire. You can make it big time. There's a lot of very good Canadian shows. CBC big ups. George Strombolopoulos big ups. Degrassi, you know, everybody who's on TV, who's part of Canadian culture and Canadian content, big ups, because, you know, these days, especially, and you're mixing with politics too, which I think, you know, politicians make a lot more than, and some of them are actors too. But I mean, even these days, they're saying, you know, that the government, the conservative government that's in power right now, they're cutting back, you know, they're thinking, you know, that it's not worth it to give money to the arts, and they've cut back dramatically in that. So, you know, I think we should be really stressing the fact that a lot of it has to do with the government. The government needs to be focused on the arts and bringing Canadian people to the forefront. And, you know, we got to keep what little we have, and we've got some really great stuff that's come out of Canada. I mean, even that movie, I know you like it, Hotel Rwanda. You don't know this, but it was directed by Canadian... his film company, he directed. He lives right here in Toronto. So again, there's a lot of people who really support the arts, but we got to support them too. And if they're not getting our support, then, you know. So everybody needs to support the arts. And again, you know, we're going to put that to a test as Catch the Flava goes to see Evil Dead the musical, and we'll let you know how our fine Canadian talent is doing. Steve's
and we should also mention a couple weeks ago we had Dylan McManamy, who is doing The Devil's Albatross, his own theater piece that's part of the Fringe Festival. If you Google Fringe Festival, I'm sure you can find out the dates. I think it's first 2 weeks in July or something, but it's all theater festival. Theater in Toronto for young people. There you go.
So there you go. All right, and that's it for Catch the Flava Radio. We'd like to thank our guest, Chris, for coming in, for doing the interview tonight, and we'd like to, you know, I'd like to big up my crew here who is supporting me as well. You know, great Canadian programming right here in Regent Park, and if that isn't, you know, worth the millions of dollars, then I don't know what is. Yeah, signing off for today. Again, Catch the Flava Radio is housed in 600 Dundas Street East, and, you know, check us on the web, catchtheflava.com and regentpark.tv, and, you know, we're taking it over.